Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. It's a Friday edition of the show here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. NBA basketball is back. We're going to talk about that last night. We had a couple of excellent, excellent games. Of course, yesterday's Drive Time Sports Show cut extremely short. David Locke, Ron Boone brought us play-by-play coverage as the Jazz eked out a victory over the New Orleans Pelicans. How about Mitchell to Gobert? You can't make this stuff up, right? I mean, we had the conversation for like 2 months on how Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert could coexist with one another. How'd they coexist? Donovan finds Rudy with 6 seconds to play in the game, draws the foul, hits two foul shots. Utah wins 106-104. Yeah, it's a great win for the Jazz. Any win that you can get in the seeding games, it's going to go a long ways, right? Because you got to knock some of the rust off. I think there's a lot of question marks. However, this loss was much more important to New Orleans than the win was to the Jazz. The Jazz are in the playoffs. And I believe there's so many variables out there that once you get in, anything can happen. New Orleans might not get in. They needed that game in a very bad way last night. They couldn't get it. Then the nightcap, Lakers-Clippers. We saw a little bit of everything in this game. Lakers come out, they look great, riding a big wave of momentum. I believe they were up 13, 14 points. Clippers fire back, Paul George catches fire. All of a sudden, the Clippers have a double-digit lead. Looks like this game's over. Lakers battle back, they catch fire. LeBron James tie ball game, scores with about 10 seconds to play. Then he D's up Kawhi Leonard and then D's up Paul George in the same sequence. LeBron was terrific defensively in this game. Not great on the offensive side of the ball, but he was great defensively. One of the best on-ball defensive sequences you will see. It's two top 10 players, Kawhi and Paul George. LeBron takes matters into his own hands. The Lakers get the win. With that win for LA, they have now virtually locked up the number one seed. Now, that's why that game was important for the Lakers. They could have afforded the loss, but in the same sense, now there's no question they are going to be the one seed. There's 7 games left. They're 6.5 up on the Clippers. They should be good. That Clippers loss puts them in danger of dropping to the 3 seed, all depending on what the Denver Nuggets can do. And that leads us to some day basketball. It's like day baseball, except we get day basketball. Right now, we have the Blazers up on top of the Memphis Grizzlies and the Phoenix Suns topping the Washington Wizards. That Grizzlies game is an important one for both teams because, again, talking about New Orleans and how badly they needed a victory last night, if you look at the standings, both Memphis and Portland up heavily. I shouldn't say Portland is. Memphis is up heavily on the New Orleans Pelicans. Portland at 29-37, just one win better than New Orleans. This is a big game. And right now, Portland is taking care of business. We take a look at the schedule going into tonight. There are some very interesting games that I definitely need to watch, such as the Rockets and the Mavericks tonight at 7 o'clock. That's my pick of the pick of the night. Here in about 15 minutes, the Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks are going to tip things off. Could be a potential Eastern Conference Championship showdown there. So some good basketball still to be played. Plus, we get Sacramento and San Antonio. We had one final from earlier today. Orlando defeating the Brooklyn Nets 128-118. Evan Fournier has 24 points to lead Orlando in that contest. The only final at this point in time. The Jazz, they'll make their return here to KOAL tomorrow. They'll take on the Oklahoma City Thunder at 1:30 p.m. Live coverage will begin at 1:20. Also tomorrow, we get the Lakers and the Raptors. And a huge game between the Pelicans and the Clippers. So there's some very good basketball to be played tomorrow as well. And it's basketball all day long. We'll step away from the NBA for a moment. Let's move over to Major League Baseball because there's some very bad news. If you missed it this morning, two Cardinal players who, I don't believe they made the announcement as to who, but have tested positive for COVID-19. The Cardinals were scheduled for a game this afternoon, actually, and that game has now been postponed. That means Cardinals Brewers, postponed. Phillies Blue Jays, postponed. Nats Marlins, postponed. Close to 33% of the teams in the National League are not playing due to postponements because of COVID-19. Now, tomorrow's game between the Cardinals and Brewers, right now it is scheduled to take place in the form of a doubleheader, and Major League Baseball announces today that doubleheaders will now count as 7-inning games. That's all irrelevant. All irrelevant to the story that broke about an hour ago. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, had a conversation with Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark today. And on that call, Manfred told Clark that if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, they would or could shut down the season. I mean, this is the obvious, right? When I saw this story break today about two Cardinal players and the run of Marlin players slash management up to 20, I'm thinking Major League Baseball is in a very bad way. Enjoy baseball if you can right now, because if we get another positive test from another team over the weekend and more games have to be postponed, I believe the league could be shut down as early as Monday. Manfred said that should another outbreak materialize, that they're going to have to look at a different direction. Multiple players who were on the call said that they believe it'll be shut down Monday as well if tests continue to jump up. Now, you could throw the book and blame anyone you want. I've been really, really hard on Rob Manfred here on the show. I've called him out for his lack of leadership, what I perceive to be a lack of leadership, the way everything's been handled with baseball. I mean, you could blame whoever, the players, for not taking COVID seriously, whatever you want to do. Bottom line is, it's not a recipe for success. And it has been my worry since the season started. Hate to beat a dead horse, but I've said this. Basketball has it right. They're playing in a bubble. It's possible with the National Basketball Association. The NFL and Major League Baseball, I guess, had that opportunity in Arizona, but they're not going with a bubble. I just don't think it's possible to play. And for all the talk of shutting down a season, don't forget that Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, has said multiple times that there's an easiness around the idea that the season could be completed if an outbreak occurs. So the NBA is not foolproof, but it has very, very fewer holes than what Major League Baseball's plan has. So again, if you're a baseball diehard and you have enjoyed baseball over the last week, week and a half, enjoy it this weekend, because I believe there's a very strong possibility that this season is shut down next week if things continue to move in the direction they are moving. With that being said, we'll take a look at the schedule in baseball. The Boston Red Sox will travel to meet the New York Yankees at 5. Also on the 5 o'clock hour, New York at Atlanta. We get Cincinnati at Detroit. And Tampa Bay will battle Baltimore. 6 o'clock hour, Kansas City hosts Chicago, the White Sox. We get the Padres at the Rockies, Big NL West showdown. Cleveland will travel to meet Minnesota. We get the Cubs and the Pirates as well. 7 o'clock tonight, Texas at San Francisco. The Angels host the Astros. The Dodgers will go toe-to-toe with the Diamondbacks. And in the nightcap, it's Oakland and Seattle. Again, three baseball games have been postponed due to COVID-19 testing. That is a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to talk local sports. Coach Phil Howa of the Carbondale football team will join us. You know, at this time next week, we're going to be preparing for the blue and white scrimmage. Yeah, football season is here. 2 weeks from today, we'll be preparing for Carbon and American Leadership Academy. I mean, the fall sports season is definitely here. Next week, we get soccer. So Coach Howa is going to join us. We're going to talk about the offseason workouts for Carbon, also what he is looking forward to most with the blue and white game. And we'll talk NBA basketball. We'll bring in Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout and founder of HoopCityNews.com. That's all straight ahead here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. get the answers to the tough questions.
We're 1 week away from the high school football season really kicking into high gear. Right now, we have the official practices going down. We talked to Coach John Famalo just a couple of weeks ago about Emory and their scrimmage contest that they've been participating in. Next Friday, both teams will play in their annual scrimmage games. The blue and white game for Carbon, black and gold game for Emory. We're going to talk Carbon football right now. We'll bring in our next guest, first-year head coach of the Carbon football team, Phil Howa. Coach Howa joining us in studio. Coach, pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. I know it's almost go time. We're 2 weeks away from the start of the season. We've had you in a couple of times after you were named head coach, and then we got kind of a midsummer update. As it stands right now, we're full head of steam. It's set to go. We have a football season. That's what it appears.
As far as I've been told, we're planning on playing football. There are going to be guidelines out there, and they're going to be a pain, but you know what? We'll adhere to them and do what we have to do to have the program move forward.
Yeah, it's not a topic, Coach, I necessarily want to get into, but how do you social distance in the game of football? You know, you can put a face mask on a kid. It doesn't really matter. You're hitting each other. It's full contact. So, I mean, how have you handled those types of guidelines?
You know what? All you do is try to not share water bottles. You try not to intermingle with, you know, we don't have any kind of a watering system that's up. We've had a merchant donate a truck of water, so our kids have water every day. It's hot. We have to keep them hydrated. It's hard. It's hard, and kids want to be around kids. They want to be social, and we try to keep them apart as much as we can by being on the field and being active, and that's probably the biggest key. But, you know, kids are kids. They want to talk. They want to visit. So it's hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't really give you a definite answer. We're doing our best.
Yeah. You know? It seems impossible to me. But nonetheless, again, 2 weeks away from the start of the season, that's when ALA will come to town. And so, Coach, over the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, week and a half, how much effort has actually gone into preparing now for the start of the season, and while still focusing on fundamentals, still taking it to the next level? I mean, is that fair? Is that something that you guys have had to try to do?
Yeah, we try to do a fundamental segment every day, whether it's 15 minutes, and then we get into an offensive day, get into a defensive day, so we're trying to give our time evenly, so both sides of the ball have even time. It is getting crunch time, and we're starting to put different things in, maybe ALA's defense against our offense, our ALA's offense against our defense, that type of stuff to give kids looks. Right now, we're trying to get intense. We're trying to become a little more intense and maintain blocks and block backside defensively, disguise stunts, wait till the last second, and commit once it's time. And it's coming. I mean, it's coming. The kids are good. They're in good spirits, I think. I had someone comment the other day that the atmosphere seems positive. And, you know, we got 44 kids on the field running through plays, practicing defense at one time. So the other 20 kids are filling in and coming in when they need it. So we're keeping kids moving. And I think they're learning, and I think that's a good potion for positive football. I mean, they're learning, and we're going to expect them to be ready to get on the line and go.
One of the great things about the new format of high school football, going back to last year, this RPI, every game counts. And so when you mention, we're looking at ALA, maybe running through some of the defenses mm-hmm. that they would put out on the field, it's exciting, Coach, because right out of the gate, these games count. I mean, you go back 2-3 years ago, you had 4 or 5 games to prepare for your region season. That was the bulk of it. That's what really mattered. That's not the case now. Every game means something.
Well, it's a whole different game, big time, from when I was a head coach many years ago, but we're learning. We're getting there. Every game should count. I mean, kids are going out, putting themselves at risk, and, you know, they want to win. I want to win. The town wants us to win, and hopefully we can get some of that.
Coach, let's talk about the logistics on the field. I know you guys had one scrimmage game against Emory. You were still very vanilla, still very green, trying to put things in. You guys hadn't had Emory had had 4 or 5, I believe, scrimmage games up to that point in time at a couple of camps. You chose to go a different route and just focus on Carbon football. So I don't think you can really take much from it. But since that point, what are some things that you have put in that we can expect now when you guys take the field against ALA?
Intensity. I mean, we were juniors or sophomores coming from a JV program that's slower, And they got against a team from Emory, the senior base team, that was flying. They were fast. They were quick kids. They had purpose. And we kind of got awestruck. So we kind of watched. We reached. We did stuff like that. So we've worked really hard on trying to get intense, maintaining blocks, blocking backside, stunning. We had no stunts set up. We had nothing. We had just a base defense. And Emory knew that. And they took advantage, you know. Saw some good things, saw some good hits, saw some positive things at moments, and then a collapse because of the pressure. But apples to oranges, you know, 2 weeks is a big difference. And you know what? I'm not going to put too much into the mix with that and put it behind us and wait till we see them next time. And that's in 3 or 4 weeks, and hopefully we'll be a better team. Even more so.
Again, Coach Phil Howell of the Carbon Dino is our guest right now as we talk about the upcoming football season. I want to say it's go time, Coach, so we have the rest of this week. On next Friday, we have the blue and white game.
We do.
And then we start. I mean, it's really that close.
It's football season.
And so the first question that I think anyone will ask, any media member, what are you going to do with the quarterback spot? You and I had that conversation. You have some options, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I have three kids right now that I think can guide the team. McCaden Whiteleather, Hayden Tallarico, and Keaton Rich. You know, all very great athletes, good running quarterbacks. McCaden might have a little better arm if he has the time. Keaton's shown that his arm is as good, you know. Tallarico's more of my option type quarterback, really runs the option well. I mean, he understands it. He ran it for me in the middle school area. But they're getting it. You know, we put a triple option in on Mondays just to see how they handled it, and I was very, very pleased that the kids picked it up. We had some success running it against our defense. The kids got excited with it, realized that it is part of our success, making of our success. So, great kids, hard workers. The biggest thing is going to get them to commit to maybe having to share some time and not just be the only man standing, and I think we can use them in other areas when they're not being quarterbacks. We can put them in defensively because they're good, hard, strong kids and tough hitters, quick. Problem every coach should have, I guess.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
Coach, when I hear you talk about the triple option, I get excited because of this new wave of football. It seems like everyone wants to spread things out. They want to throw the ball down the field. And that's not always a recipe for success. When you look at the triple option, it's assignment football. Not only is it an assignment football for you, but if the defense doesn't play assignment football, which isn't always the easiest at this level. I mean, kids get anxious. Yeah. I mean, you can have a lot of success with it. And so when I hear you talk about the triple option, I get excited about it. Why is it for you that you believe that you could be successful with this particular scheme?
Well, I've seen it successful. I've had it at a middle school area where, you know, you introduced it as seventh grade, and eighth grade they came and they took their lumps as seventh graders and came back and dominated the league as a triple option because they could read what the linebacker was doing. If he takes off, you hand it to the fullback. If he doesn't, you take the ball to the defensive end and make him make a choice. If he takes the running back, you keep it. If he takes the quarterback, you pitch it. I mean, it's three different options. Mm-hmm. And we can even pass out of it, so you actually could add a fourth. So I like it. I understand it. Line blocking is a little bit confusing. And right now, maybe that's what some of our issues are. But we'll get there. We'll get there. The kids will realize when it comes, they'll take it. Right now, they're trying to force things. And you don't have to force things with the triple option. It usually presents itself, and you just step in front and occupy.
Just got to read. Yep. You got to be able to read. Defensively, Coach, 3-5 against Emory, is that what we can expect on the field against ALA?
No. 3-5 is our base. Our defensive coordinator, Taylor Brower, believes that if you know the base 3-5, then you can go to anything. And you know what? I have to agree with him. We went from the 3-5. I put it on the field while Taylor was off on a family reunion, which I condone. I think everybody has to take care of their families. I put a 4-4, 4-3 in, 5-5-3 in, six-man line out of the 3-5, and our kids adjusted really well, and it wasn't confusion. It was like, we can do this. And so in one day, they realized they could play three different defenses out of the 3-5. So kudos to Taylor kudos to our team for stepping up and not making it complicated. Mm-hmm. Had one of my defensive coaches, lineman coaches, Gunnar Jess, and the former Carbon, said, "This is exciting, coach. This is confusing to the offense, and that's good defensively." So there's buy-in. I mean, coaches are there. They're working hard. I couldn't do it without them. They take individual groups and work specific fundamentals, and our kids are catching the ball all the time. Our running backs are taking handoffs. Linemen are hitting sleds. We're doing everything we can to be positive and create a football program. So,
Coach, between now and the blue and white game, in fact, let's talk about the blue and white game. What do you want to get out of that? What are you looking to say, okay, this is the main objective, besides health, because that's always the number one thing, right? You got to make sure you come out of it healthy. But what's the one objective for that blue and white game?
My main objective for the blue and white game is to these kids to prove to themselves that we do have two different sides to the field, that even though we have a number one offense on the field, we can also have a number one defense on the field without too much changing, too much overlapping. If we overlap, we put a strong defender in that plays offense and stun him and use him when he's fresh. I'm trying to get these kids to understand they don't have to play Iron Man football anymore. I do believe we have enough athletes to do that, and hopefully in the blue and white game they can get some of that. I'd also like to get the younger kids on the field. They're putting time in, so maybe a quarter may be designated for our younger classmen to go in and have a little bit of a blue and white game within themselves. So three quarters varsity, another quarter of just younger kids getting a chance to show their stuff.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it, Coach. Again, the regular season is going to be here before we know it, just 2 weeks away. Thank you so much for taking out the time to stop by the station today, Coach, and I look forward to more conversation soon.
Always, Jordan. My pleasure.
Again, that's Coach Phil Howa of the Carbon Dino football team. Do not forget, you will be able to follow Carbon High School football all season long on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. You can also stream games live at CastleCountryRadio.com or with the KRPX radio app. We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll move over to talk NBA basketball. Big win for the Utah Jazz last night. Bigger loss for New Orleans. They can't afford too many mishaps. Last night they had a game for the taking, but the Jazz come through in the clutch as Donovan Mitchell finds Rudy Gobert. A couple of foul shots, and Utah's on their way to a victory. We'll talk about that when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
This is Derek Favors. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game. Harris, pick and roll it. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Farm Studios here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Boy, it was a thing of beauty last night right here on KOAL. We had Utah Jazz basketball making its return. It's been over 100 days since we've had regular season NBA ball. And I'll tell you, it certainly lived up to the hype. We had a couple of one-score games last night. The Jazz topping the New Orleans Pelicans 106-104. And then we had LeBron James really rising to the top late in the contest to give the Lakers a two-point win over the Clippers. We're going to talk about that and more right now with Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout, and also the founder of HoopCityNews.com. And Tom, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Glad to be here. You get me motivated and get me fired up, Jordan.
Ah, well, hey.
Glad to be here.
that's fantastic. I don't know that I can take too much credit for that because, Tom, certainly last night the NBA lived up to the billing. I mean, the Jazz and the Pelicans, and we can start right here. This is an important game, more so for New Orleans than it was for Utah. The Jazz, they have a playoff spot locked up. We don't really need to pay attention to home court. Maybe we can look ahead to potential playoff matchups. But on the flip side, New Orleans has to figure out a way to get within X amount of games of the Grizzlies to at least force a play-in game. Last night, they had a golden opportunity. They started off hot. They faded a little bit in the middle of that contest. And then, of course, an opportunity to win last night. They come up short. That's a big loss for the Pelicans.
Big-time loss. The thing about it is, you know, they just got Zion back, Williamson. And, of course, you know, he's been touted for Rookie of the Year, which, of course, he doesn't deserve because Ja Morant deserves that. But,
yep.
You know, Zion Williamson, he's getting his legs back. He's still learning the NBA game, you know. So it's not like he's surefire plug-in and let's go. But, yeah, they played well. But the Jazz really played well, especially when it counted. That's what's really great. And you got to give a lot of credit to Spider, you know, Donovan Mitchell. He's just totally nailed. And you also have to give credit to, you know, this controversy between he and Gobert. They had these off-season problems with each other and weren't really quite on the same page. But between the lines, they're on the same page. And I think it really boiled down to one thing. Gobert wants more of an offensive image. And that's not necessarily his game. He needs to block shots, rebound, and, you know, clog up the middle type thing. And Mitchell just needs to do what he does. But they played very well together, and they look like a good team. And remember, what if they had Bogdanovich?
Right.
Oh, my God, if they had Bogdanovich, that would really make things interesting.
The one thing that does stand out to me with the Jazz performance last night, Tom, it's the balance offensively. I mean, when you take a look at it, they shared the ball extremely well. Mike Conley played a little bit better, still struggled from beyond the arc, finished just 2 of 7 from the field, but he did distribute the basketball well. Now, that balance stops with the starting five because coming off the bench, and this is the depth problem without Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles is going to have to start Royce O'Neal. One of those two is going to have to start with Bogdanovic out. So that means that Jordan Clarkson is pretty much responsible for any sort of offensive production coming off of the bench. And the reason I bring that up is because this is a Jazz team that will have no problem really pinpointing some excellent defense. This is what they're built off of. I do worry about their ability to score the basketball. So great balance offensively, but still, I guess maybe more from Emmanuel Mudiay coming off of the pine, because, I mean, Jordan Clarkson was great last night, but 32 minutes off of the bench, and he was pretty much the lone productive player off of the pine.
Right, right. And, yeah, Mudiay, they've got to get more production out of Mudiay. But Clarkson did show up, and he's not the kind of guy that can put 2 or 3 games together. So the likelihood of him showing up next game, not so likely. But, again, they got two of the best players in the game, Gobert and Mitchell. So it seems to me like they have enough to carry them through in the first part. Now, one of the impressive things was Mike Conley. Mike Conley was struggling kind of all year.
Right.
And he really played well. You know, he's a left-hander and it can go right. And when he distributes, he can really run an offense. So he's a very important part of that offense. And playing the pick and roll with Gobert and Mitchell, that's an important part. So, they got the ingredients to move on in the playoffs or in this first round, but at the same time, they need more production from the bench.
Let's move over and talk about New Orleans for a moment. One of the stiffest defensive backcourts in the league, no question, with Lonzo Ball and Drew Holiday. Lonzo really struggled from the field last night, just 2 of 13. He was 0 of 4 from deep. I'm a big believer in Lonzo Ball. I just know that offensive numbers aren't really what you're going to get out of this guy. Still, Brandon Ingram even struggled to shoot the basketball. He was just 7 of 20, 2 of 8 from downtown. Had an opportunity to really will New Orleans to a victory, and he just could not find the shot. And I know you wrote an article on HoopCityNews.com talking about the defense being ahead of the offense. When I look at this Pelicans team outside of Ball and Holiday in the backcourt, that's where the defensive tenacity kind of stops, Tom. They have to score the basketball if they're going to have a chance to make a move here late. And I don't know if only taking 8 shots for Zion Williamson is necessarily the recipe for success.
Yeah, it probably is not. And as far as Ball's concerned, he's still, at this point, he's still trying to find his game. Now, you know his game is an open court game, bring the ball up and distribute. It's not a pick and roll guy. It's not shooting from the outside or even mid-range for as far as that matters. But if he just plays naturally, looking for the pass, he'll be okay. So you're not going to get scoring out of Lonzo Ball. If that ever happens, my goodness, the world might come to an end. But they've got some nice pieces there to go ahead. And you got to love Redick. Redick is such, you know, a player. He's such a baller. And he hits big shots all the time. So, he's probably got to play a bit more minutes too, because he's a very solid player. So you're right. There's some defense there, but there's just not enough there. There's the tank is kind of empty.
Right now, our guest is Tom Perkins, again, of HoopCityNews.com, also an independent NBA scout, as we talk about opening night, or the NBA season resuming, however you want to look at it. Tom, let's jump forward. We'll talk about the nightcap, the main event last night. Lakers-Clippers, the battle for L.A., fourth meeting of the season between these two squads. The Lakers get their second consecutive win, so they split the series 2-2. We just talked a moment ago about the offense not looking great last night. That does not apply to two players. Both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were very good offensively. In fact, Paul George's streaky shooting last night as he knocked down six strays kept the Clippers afloat. We saw the Clippers battle back from a double-digit deficit. We saw the Lakers battle back from a double-digit deficit. And then we saw LeBron James do what I believe was the most impressive sequence of basketball that I saw all last night. With the game in doubt, Lakers up by two, Clippers final possession, LeBron distributes lockdown defense on Kawhi Leonard off of the left wing, makes a seamless transition switch to Paul George, and forces him to put up an errant shot at the buzzer. LeBron James was absolutely incredible from a defensive standpoint last night. Struggled offensively, but boy, when you look at that last sequence, Tom, I mean, that's as perfect of defense as you're going to see in a man-to-man set.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, I've always said this in my scouting reports, whether it's scouting college players or whatever. If a guy has the ability to play great offense, moving his feet, sliding, and having good footwork, then he has the ability to play great defense. And that's exactly what LeBron did last night, because you know he's powerful, he's strong, and he can move his feet with the best of them. And, you know, thank goodness for him. I mean, to his credit, or maybe to God's credit, he's never had any kind of leg injuries, no knee injuries, no ankle injuries. So the bottom line with LeBron is he is capable of doing that. That's not necessarily an aberration. Just like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they're both capable of playing real good defense. So, yeah, whenever you see great offensive players, you should be able to translate that into defense.
In this game last night, my big takeaway, the Clippers are obviously without Montrezl Harrell, and they're without Lou Williams. Okay, those are two big components to this Clipper team that they will eventually get back. So no worries about the Clippers. Now, there were some questions with the Lakers. No Avery Bradley, no Rajon Rondo, and also Kyle Kuzma. Two questions were answered last night for me. One, Alex Caruso was very effective on the defensive end of the floor, and that's really what you need out of Rajon Rondo, right? He's a terrific defensive player. On top of that, Kyle Kuzma was an excellent third or fourth option for this team on the offensive side of the ball, and he may very well have to be that guy moving forward if this Laker team is going to win. And then you couple that with Dion Waiters. And Tom, I had questions about this Lakers team last night, but by the way those guys produced, Caruso, Waiters, and Kuzma, if I'm a Laker fan, I'm feeling pretty confident today.
Yeah, because, well, you take Caruso, for example. He had a very poor shooting night in general, but when the game was on the line, he took some really important shots and made them. And, you know, either forced foul shots or made threes, but he didn't make any threes, or just forced foul shots. But he was a plus nine in regards to his play last night. It shows you kind of an example on how valuable he is. And then when you get involved with Dion Waiters, you know that's the best pickup for them in regards to Avery Bradley. That's Dion Waiters is going to play a big, big role. Unlike, let me switch over to the Clippers. I don't think Yannick Noah, he's lost out there. He can't give any offense, and now he really can't give any defense or rebounding. So I think the Dion Waiters pickup is very good. I'm not sure if they're going to go ahead and incorporate J.R. Smith. Maybe, maybe not. You know, when guys are in the league for any length of time, they kind of get a reputation in coaches' minds. And they could possibly break that reputation in a scrimmage, in a practice, in a game, but more likely not. So they're going to have to go with what worked last night. And let me give a real strong note about the Clippers. Lou Williams should be ashamed of himself. That's horrible what he did.
I agree.
He knows damn well that the coronavirus is out there and alive, and he thought he's going to have a Ferris Bueller day off and be some kind of a high school kid going around Orlando having fun. That is selfish and stupid on his part, because that's not a team player. Because everybody should be focused and lasered in to trying to win this ring, and Lou Williams was not, because he could have and would have made the difference in last night's game, I think.
Perhaps. You know, I do wonder what Paul George would have looked like offensively with Lou Williams. I mean, obviously there's a change of identity a little bit, right? But you are talking about the third leading scorer on this team, who produces about 18, 19 points off the bench. I mean, he's a vital part to this Clipper squad.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at Kawhi and Paul George, especially Paul George now being fully healthy, Kawhi and Paul George are two of the best, especially both-way players, because they can go ahead and defend and play perimeter basketball. And in last night's case, Paul George was hitting a three like there was no tomorrow. But when you add Lou Williams, it takes some pressure off of those guys. So that therefore, as Kawhi Leonard's being double-teamed, Paul George's being double-teamed, Lou Williams will find the open spot. And man, if those two guys find Lou Williams, he'll hit it.
Tom Perkins again, our guest right now. Tom, before I let you go, I do want to jump ahead and talk about the games that we get today. I mean, the great thing about this restart of the NBA, there's games going on all day long. It kind of has the baseball feel. But we'll talk about a couple of the night games. I mean, right now, Boston and Milwaukee getting ready to tip off. 6 o'clock tonight, we get Sacramento at San Antonio. Then we get Houston at Dallas. Tomorrow brings another full slate. Utah, Oklahoma City. I love the Lakers and Toronto Raptors matchup. That's the final game of a quadruple header on ESPN. And out of the games I just mentioned, which one definitely strikes you the most as being so compelling that it's can't-miss basketball?
Well, I think the Lakers against Toronto is very compelling, and so probably equally as much as Bucks-Celtics, because of the fact that Celtics, you know, they play a real consistent type basketball style, and they've got a lot of pieces in the puzzle to go ahead and combat Giannis and company. So, yeah, the Celtics, Bucks, and Lakers in Toronto are very, very compelling.
Tom Perkins again of HoopCityNews.com. Tom, what an excellent conversation. I really appreciate you taking out some time this afternoon to have a word with us. I can't let you go, though, without talking about HoopCityNews.com. Again, you sent an article out earlier today. I found it fascinating, especially you referencing that the defense was ahead of the offense. That's just some of the tidbits you'll get from Tom if you sign up. So tell us all about HoopCityNews.com.
Yeah, we're covering the whole end of the season and into the playoffs. And yeah, the observations I made, you know, is a little bit beyond what the average fan would look for. The average fan would say, okay, well, you know, LeBron made that last shot and so on and so forth. But it goes way beyond that. And I always try to go way beyond the obvious in my articles. And I think my readers appreciate that. And so yeah, you can always read that those kind of things and more on my HoopCityNews.com. And I've been getting a lot of great props on my site. And I think it's pretty exciting. And we also promote some things without going too far. We promote the, you know, wearing of the mask and stuff like that. But we never have any kind of weird agenda. But I think it's an enjoyable thing for me to do, to write, and to write beyond what the fans look for.
Well, I definitely enjoy the work, Tom, and I always enjoy the conversations. Thank you so much for taking out the time today, and we'll do it again real soon.
Thank you so much, Jordan. You are the best, as I said, and I don't mean that lightly. I've seen a lot, but you're the best.
No, that means a lot, Tom. Thank you again for the compliment.
Thanks so much.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Again, we are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Final touches of this week of Drive Time Sports. Fun show. I love having sports to talk about. It's amazing how much easier the show is, my job is, when you have sports to talk about. We went over 100 days without live sports. It's easy now, for the time being anyway. Do not forget, we have Utah Jazz basketball coming up tomorrow, 1:30 tip-off. Utah will go toe-to-toe with the Oklahoma City Thunder in a very important game, and then they get the Lakers on Monday night. That's a big game tomorrow for Oklahoma City and the Jazz as far as the seeding purpose is concerned. I love having 22 teams that have a legitimate chance of getting into the postseason. Makes for some interesting basketball. We'll talk about that on the show Monday. I want to thank Coach Phil Howell and also Tom Perkins for taking out the time to join us. Out of time. We'll do it again on Monday. Be safe. I am out.